The Lord put a theme on my heart for tonight called The Army of the Lord. And a long time ago, Kenneth Copeland used to always sing a song that really stirred in my heart. And it's, we are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in his blood and we are going forth. There's nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword. Every stronghold of bondage will fall beneath his feet. Every prisoner held captive shall be free. There's a new song being sung with a new melody, and it's the blood-bought church, the redeemed. And I have a testimony about that song, and I think it was about 18 years ago. I don't remember exactly, but Reuben and Calvin and our son Bob, before Bob moved to Navajoa, went to Navajoa to work on a church roof to help with the construction project in Navajoa. And one morning while they were gone, I got up at home really early, and that song, I just began to sing it at the top of my lungs. And I sang it, and I sang it, and I sang it for hours and hours. I couldn't stop. Nothing shall stop the mighty moving force. Hallelujah. And I felt like I was in battle and in praising the Lord, and I was in battle. Well, Reuben and Calvin were on the roof putting tin on a roof. They had already had the wood frame, and Reuben, Calvin and them were up working together, and Reuben smelled the smell of death, a spirit of death. And right after that, one of the boards broke right under Calvin, and he fell on 11 feet on cement, and he hit an old-fashioned sewing machine on his way down, so he didn't land straight. And he really, for a long time, he couldn't get his breath, and Bobby was really afraid. I mean, he really feared for his life. It was that close. He was really hurt. And nobody called me all day, but all day long I battled, and I battled, and I didn't know why, but I battled with the praise of victory. Hallelujah. And after he failed, one of the women in the church prayed for one shoulder, wasn't it? And it went back into place. But he came home just in pretty bad shape. He went to Dr. Jesus, but he never did go to a doctor. But for a long time when he would breathe, I could put my hit my ear on his chest, and it would sound like a percolator, coffee percolator. It just perk, and you know, there was air. And when he would turn to one side or the other, everything would follow that side. So things were turned loose. But anyway, but God began to heal him, and things began to heal. And when he would breathe in, and still instead of his lungs going up, they would go down first and then up. And we went to a meeting in Tucson, and right at the end of the service, the preacher had already, it was an FCF meeting, but the preacher had already turned it over in Albuquerque. He was already turning it over to the pastor. And he said, "Just a minute, somebody needs healing for their lungs." And so Calvin went up. And when we got home that night, his breathing was normal. Everything was normal. But anyway, God uses praise to fight battles. Hallelujah. It's one of the ways that we battle in the Spirit is when praising. Hallelujah. And we're going to read Revelation 19, 11 through 16. And it says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." We are part of that war. We're in the battle. Sometimes we battle along with the Lord. Amen. Verse 12, "His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in white linen and white and clean, followed him on white horses. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself, this is talking about Jesus, will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the wine presses of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That's our God. Hallelujah. Joel 2:11 says, the Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. And anyway, we are also part of that army. God has called us to be part of the army of the Lord, fighting against evil and fighting for righteousness and right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And 1 Timothy 6:12 tells us to fight the good fight of faith. And have you noticed we have to fight to stay in faith? You know, the enemy comes after our faith. Our accuser, the devil, tries to get us to look back. The world and the flesh tries to keep our attention on the things around us. We have to fight to keep our eyes on the Lord. It's like a constant battle to look up, to look to God. And sorrow looks back. Worry looks around, but faith always looks up. It's important to know the power of our weapons. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 10:4. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Hallelujah. And then Revelation 12:11 tells us that they overcame him, Satan, speaking of Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. Jesus poured out his blood, and his blood is a weapon to us. We can plead the blood of Jesus over us. We can cover our households with the blood of Jesus. The blood is powerful that Jesus shed. Hallelujah. It has total victory over the enemy. And the word of our testimony. It's important that the words that come out of our mouth are in agreement with God and with faith. Hallelujah. And so that's how we overcome the attacks of the enemy. Paul said in 2 Timothy, I have fought the good faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So he fought the good fight. A good fight is one you win. Have you ever talked to two guys that were in a fight? You talk to one and that won, and he says, whew, that was a good fight. And you talk to the other one that lost, and he says, oh, that was a terrible fight. So a good fight's the one we win. Hallelujah. And we win it by faith. Amen? Hallelujah. As we enter into battle, we need to be aware of our position of authority within God's kingdom. Colossians 1:13, we're going to read that, and it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we are fighting from Jesus' side, and that's the side of victory. He has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. Revelation 1:5-6, we're going to read it. It says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So Jesus won a victory, and then he made us his kings and his priests. Hallelujah. While he has made us kings and priests, he is the King of Kings, and he is the high priest. And so we are his sons, having authority, but always under his authority. In the military, you never have authority yourself until you prove your obedience to the authority above you. Then your level of authority will depend on your level of obedience to those over you. There's never been an officer that hasn't went through a whole lot of things to get where he's at. He's had to obey and listen when he didn't want to and prove his obedience over and over again. In God's kingdom, your level of authority will never succeed your level of obedience. Romans 8:14 tells us that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And the sons there means mature sons, grown-up sons. But when we grow and when we learn to listen to the Lord and be led by the Lord, you know, we're grown-up sons. We're known. Hallelujah. We've proven that we're listening to the Lord and obeying him rather than our flesh and the world around us. 2 Timothy 2:4, we're going to read that. It says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Is there faith? Is there obedience? Is there perseverance? Do we value our lives more than the cause of the kingdom? What has preeminence, God's will or our will? Our job, one job of a soldier is to be a watchman on the wall. We're going to read Isaiah 62:6. And the Lord says, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, and they shall never hold their peace day or night. And you will make mention of the Lord, and do not keep silence. Watchmen in the Bible, watchmen watched over the cities, but they were also placed to watch over the crops. And in time of harvest, they put a lot of extra people to watch over the crops so the enemy wouldn't come in and steal the harvest. And, you know, when we're expecting a large harvest in Douglas, you know, it's God's kingdom time for a revival. We hear the prophecies all the time. But our job is to watch over the harvest that's almost ready in our prayers so that the enemy will not come in and steal the harvest. We're going to read Genesis 2:15, and it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. Tend in the Hebrew is adad, and it means to care for, to work. You know, Kenneth Hagin always said, how do you spell ministry? W-O-R-K. So part of our thing in the garden is to work, care for, work, serve, and worship. Worship is a part of tending to the garden. Because when we worship, we set the atmosphere right. You know, it just brings a victory when you worship. And then the word keep is shamar in Hebrew, and it means to guard, protect, watch piece by piece until God finishes the process. So we're to keep the garden. We all have a sphere of influence, our assignment that we need to guard. We need to keep the serpent out of our garden. Protect what belongs to you, your family, your church, your business, your job, your town, whatever God's assigned you to, your job is to watch over it and keep it. Amen? And don't let the enemy, don't let the serpent in. Don't listen to him and run him out when he comes in. Amen? Ephesians 4:27 tells us, neither give place to the devil. In the Amplified, it says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Don't give an opportunity to him. So when we give place to the devil, we are giving him an opportunity. You know, we're giving him a foothold to come in and do his evil work. Proverbs 4:23 tells us to keep your heart with all diligence because out of it spring the issues of life. So we must guard our heart and our attitudes and keep them on the Lord. Keep loving good attitudes and know that people are never our enemy. It's evil spirits. It's our enemy. Amen? And so we have to keep our heart pure and right toward people and everyone. 1 Corinthians 2:10-11 says, "Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ." Verse 11 says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." So here, the scripture is kind of saying, if you have unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone, that gives Satan a place of an advantage. It gives him a foothold to come in. Advantage means to have or hold the greater portion. We must deal with the enemies that are within us or tormenting us. It could be a stronghold of unforgiveness, jealousy, anger, lust, unbelief, fear. All of those things will give the enemy a foothold to take advantage of us. We must ask for God's help and we must command whatever it is to leave. Because we are children of God and this evil thing has no right to torment us. Doesn't have a place. And if we're having trouble getting the victory, we need to find someone to agree with us in prayer. When a soldier is facing an enemy stronger than him, what does he do? He calls in reinforcements. He calls in help. And so if we're fighting something that's bigger than we are, we need to get some prayer partners standing with us and helping us. Amen? Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:10-12 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but," and I'm going to put in these words, "we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." So we are in a battle with the enemy of our souls. And it's kind of a constant battle. He just doesn't seem to take a vacation. Hallelujah. But so we need to stay alert and watching and aware. And it usually starts with things like attitude, or you get a sour attitude or just something. That's how he starts in on us. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Satan has a strategy to oppose your advancement because your advancement means his defeat. Our victory means the devil's defeat, so he wants to oppose our advancement. The devil has a strategy to use unbelief to make your spirit numb. Faith quickens, makes alive. It's active. Faith touches the unseen power of heaven. Unbelief shuts you down, separates you from the spirit realm. Satan has a strategy to use rejection and abandonment to make you feel alone. We are spiritually created to function as a body. And our spiritual health depends on being connected and functioning with others. That's important. The devil has a strategy to use betrayal to overwhelm you. When you're overwhelmed, you move from a state of advance to a state of resignation and retreat. And so any of those things, we have to be aware of them and stop them and push into being in fellowship with God. Protection from the attacks of the enemy are not automatic. God's plan is to alert us to Satan's tactics. We must be alert and watchful. If we're not alert and watchful, Satan will take advantage of us, get the bigger portion. Watchmen should sound the alarm when they see someone coming. Is it a friend or an enemy? We're going to read 2 Samuel 18, 24 through 27. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate to the wall, lifted up his eyes and looked, and there was a man running alone. Then the watchman cried out and told the king, and the king said, "If he is alone, there is news in his mouth." And he came rapidly and drew near. Then the watchman saw another man running, and as the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, "There is another man running alone." And the king said, "He also brings news." So the watchman said, "I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king says, "He is a good man and comes with good news." So watchmen not only watch for what the enemy might be sending, but watchmen watches for the good. We need to be aware of what the Spirit is saying about what's coming so that we'll be ready to move with the Lord and go with him. Hallelujah. One example, when IHOP came through here and prayed several years ago, they saw visions of angels in the mountains all around Douglas, dancing on the mountains, like a victory dance on the mountains. And you know, we see things in the Spirit that excite us and know God's with us. He's on our side. He's working behind the scenes where we can't see natural. In the Spirit, Lord is working. The angel armies are there working in our behalf and working to help bring forth what we're praying for in the Spirit. You know, it's like angels respond to the word of God. And when we speak forth the word of God, angels go into action to do what the word is saying. They respond to fulfill the word. Hallelujah. So we need to speak the word, stay in faith. We need to be very sensitive to the prophetic word. What is the Lord saying? And speak it out. Speak out the scriptures that he has on our lips. Amen. Watchmen recognize, discern, pay attention, and listen. They are aware, alert, awake, and sober. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Getting drunk dulls a person's senses. While being filled with the Spirit keeps you alert. So we need to be careful that we're not doing anything that dulls our senses, that puts us just like we're floating, like nothing, you know, it's just we're supposed to stay alert and aware. Mark 14:38 says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Don't sleep on the job. Shake off the days. The cloudiness, get rid of it. Hallelujah. Stay awake on the job. You know, if all of the border patrol that's watching the border are sitting in their cars playing games on their phone, how much good are they doing? You know, we need to be alert to the Lord and alert of our job in the Spirit. Stay alert in the Spirit and aware of what's going on. Don't become dazed or passive. James 4:7 tells us, therefore, submit to God. Our victory over the enemy is directly dependent on our submission to God. And then it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist means to apply pressure. It's like push against, exercise. The more you resist, the stronger you become. Possessing the land. During this dispensation of time, the earth is a battlefield between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. In Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he gained back the legal right to govern the earth that Adam had lost and was seated far above all principality and power. Colossians 2:15 in the Amplified says, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in the cross. Then Jesus left the earth and he delegated authority to his followers, to his sons. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you, his body, his people, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. So when Jesus, he gained the victory on the cross, he took the keys of death and hell out of Satan's hand. He gained the victory, and then when he left, he delegated that authority and that victory to his body, to his children. We're going to read Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. And it says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He's above every name. There's no name on earth that's higher. He's far above every principality, every power. Hallelujah. Verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And then down a few verses in Ephesians 2:6, he said, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when positionally, when Jesus rose and sat on the throne, he took us up there with him. So we have, and he gave us authority. He gave us the authority. Hallelujah. We are part of his body. Hallelujah. And him, the head, he went into a special place in the heavens, but we are still a part of his body. We're his feet and his hands and his voice in this earth. Hallelujah. And we also have authority. Before we can fully win the battle in the spirit realm, we need to come to an understanding that Jesus already won the legal ownership of all the earth with his blood on the cross. Ever since the cross settled the matter, the devil has been setting illegally on God's property. Jesus can now rightfully and legally claim ownership. However, now as his ambassadors on this earth, we need to take the territory Satan has control of away from him. We now are God's representative on the earth, and we have a legal right to take it back. Isaiah 58:6. In this... Is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is this not what I've called you to do? Amen. When we win the battle in the spirit realm, we will see a real breakthrough. Many bound people are released from Satan's captivity so that they can free to turn to the Lord, and a great harvest can be reaped. In every major revival that's happened, if you study revivals, before the revival happened, there were people called to prayer that would just spend hours and hours and hours weeping in prayer. And they were gaining, they were like changing the atmosphere with their prayers, taking authority over the power that Satan had over people. And so then all of a sudden the power of Satan was broken, and it was easy for people to come to the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to know we are not fighting in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6-7 says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.' And then he said to the mountain, 'Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth a capstone of shouts of grace, grace to it.'" And so, by the power of the Lord, things that are a mountain are going to just fall. And it's not by our strength, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. He takes down the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you're fighting with the Spirit of the Lord, you can look at that mountain and say, "Who are you, O mountain?" You know, we have the Spirit of the Lord on our side. Amen. In the story of Joshua crossing the promised land and taking what the Lord said belonged to them is a wonderful example of us taking what rightfully is ours in the kingdom of God. We're going to read Joshua 1, 2, and 3, and then drop down to verse 9. And the Lord says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you, as I said to Moses." And then down in verse 9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And the Israelites didn't take the entire land all at once. They took city by city according to the instructions of the Lord, and the Lord told them to do it different in every city. There was only one Jericho, and they had to fight the certain way at Jericho, but every assignment they had, God gave them different instructions. And as they obeyed exactly what God told them, they would win the battle. And if they disobeyed and did their own thing, then they would lose the battle. But as long as they did what God said and listened to his voice in every individual battle, they won. Hallelujah. If they had sin in the camp or followed their own plans, they were in trouble, and they would lose the battle. Hallelujah. And that part of the scripture says, every place the sole of your foot treads upon, I will give you. And I know the Lord used Calvin and I that a lot in Mexico years ago when we would go down. We went into areas that really didn't have any churches in them at all, and down in the Navajo area especially. And the Lord took us on mountain roads up into little villages where most people were afraid to go. And we just went. But every little town that we'd go through that the Lord put it on our heart, we would get out and we would walk the ground and we would say, there will be people in this town before the throne of God on that day. There will be people from this village in that town before the throne of God on that day when we gather before the throne. And we would just go and walk on the dirt, put our feet on the dirt, and we would declare that. And then this summer, we went back into some of those places that we hadn't been to since we did that 20 years ago. Now there's churches, there's Christians established in every one of those towns. Hallelujah. God wants us to walk and take places for the kingdom of God as he instructs us to. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 18:18-19. Says, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth touching anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And verse 18 in the Rood translation says, here is a part of the believer's inheritance. Whatever you forbid, I'll forbid. All of heaven stands at attention, ready to back you up. But if you allow it, I have to allow it. Whatever decision you make, I'll back you up on it. When we are to bind evil and loose good. When we make a request in Jesus' name, first we have to use the authority of that name to bind Satan's influence in the situation. God does not move in any situation unless one of his children asks him. Worship is a mighty weapon against Satan. Psalms 149:6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. When Calvin had fallen, and they didn't even call and tell me he had had the accident. I don't know. Anyway, finally, it didn't leave all day long, and finally I called, and I answered the phone. I think I called his phone, and he says, how did you know? I says, I've been praying all day. Just been praying all day. But I distracted myself. But praise is a weapon. Praise puts the Spirit of the Lord in place. Hallelujah. It stands up with power against the enemy's plans and purposes. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:12 tells us the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When we speak and decree God's word, there's power in it. It's powerful. It carries all of the authority of heaven. The angels respond when we speak forth the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to read Psalms 149:1-9. It says, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with a dance. Let them sing praises to him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. This is the kingdom of God, darkness. When we praise and worship God, it tears up the principalities of the power of darkness. Hallelujah. In verse 9, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. So, you know, we are in a battle. You know, we have the devil, you know, the kingdom of darkness does not like us. But it does not matter because God gained the authority and he gave it to us, his children. We have the authority of heaven behind us. Hallelujah. And we need to stay connected to God in worship, in praise, in fellowship. We need to speak forth his word. We need to battle in the spirit. When we see the enemy coming after our family, we need to go into battle. Hallelujah. Against the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. Our battle isn't against our relatives that we're not happy with what they're doing. Our battle is against the enemy of our souls, against the devil. And if we will fight and praise and just take our authority in the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe so many people are held bondage by Satan. And as we begin to really spend time in worship and in prayer and standing before heaven. Hallelujah. And, you know, we'll begin to see bondages broken. Jesus came to set the captive free. He wants people free. He doesn't want them into bondage of anything, any of the kingdom of darkness. He wants people free. Hallelujah. And we are God's army in this earth. We are his representatives. He's called us to represent the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Amen. Victory, victory, victory. We have the victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I thank you that you will wake us up, that we will shake off the lethargy, that we will shake off the discouragement, and that we will move into that place that you've called us to move into, where we have the power and anointing of the Almighty God. We just thank you, Lord, for your power, for your anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you have included us, that we are now part of your body, and we are your feet and your hands and your voice in the earth today. But you are our head. You have made us kings and priests, but you are always the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are above all. And we honor you with our lives. We honor you with obedience. We honor you with tuning our ear into what you say and doing what you tell us to do. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we will rise up as a mighty army. I pray that this church and that your army will rise up powerful in Douglas, and it will begin to take territory away from Satan, that will begin to expand the kingdom of light. Father, wake us up. Wake us up. Let us be aware and alert and be those watchmen on the wall that you've called us to be. We thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Victory. Amen. Victory.